Okay, we're recording.
We are recording.
We did it. Hi.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Donatas. How are you?
I'm good. I waited for you for 10 minutes outside.
Yes, you did. I'm a chronic lateness person, so I'm really sorry. I was like, I'm going to be like 5 minutes late. I was about 5 minutes late.
I think it's pretty cool for like Spain because everyone here is mañana, mañana.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of place you can actually chill outside. So I was just going around looking at homeless people.
Nice. Getting inspiration.
Yeah.
Hold on. Why am I like awkward? I need to fix my... Okay, I'm here. Are we in the right places? Are we under our names?
I think so. I feel like I'm not too close, not too far.
Yeah. No, you're good.
I love the green screen that you have here.
Thank you. Vem created it. Shout out to Vem.
Oh, Vem, the Swedish girl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we met.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because Vem's been away for most of the time you were here.
Yeah, yeah, we met once. She's very cool.
She's super cool. We're going to film a sketch with her later.
Oh, she's coming?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm looking forward to this sketch because you're the only people who see the talent that I have in being more than 2 meters tall.
It's a talent. It's very impressive. I've never met someone as talented as you.
Other than that, I have no skills.
You are funny.
Yes.
Is that a skill, though?
Thank you.
Is being funny a skill?
I think you need to be a little bit funny, and then you can like work it as a muscle. So it's like if you have legs, you can get stronger, you know? But if you don't have legs, you can't really run. So I think everyone's a little bit funny.
Sure.
And then you can just practice it. Although, I don't know, when it comes to stand-up, especially like improv, right? Like, I don't do improv, but it seems like, how do you get better at that skill? Because improv is more about like letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And stand-up, you can like practice the skill of writing the joke mm-hmm. and the delivery, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how those two compare.
Interesting. What do you think? Like, do you think that they cross over at all, or that there's a way to strengthen both skills, or that some people are better at one, some people are better at another?
I always thought, okay, so I've been doing stand-up for like 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the reason I like it is because that's kind of the way of like expressing yourself and trying to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to do that publicly, you know?
Yeah.
So you just feel accepted. And the goal is to be as honest as possible, which is hard to do when you do the same bit every night.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to change it up. But if the joke feels honest, you can keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just get better at finding your own voice and being who you are on stage. And I think that's why I like it. Improv is something you just need to like let go, because you're not prepared, right? You're coming in without jokes. You just kind of like playing.
Yeah.
But it's hard because you're in your head a lot too, you know? Like when I'm talking right now, like what's my next sentence?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. I think improv is hard for people who think a lot.
Yeah, you have to be kind of dumb.
Yeah, you got to kind of be an idiot to be good at improv. No, I'm not saying that people that are good at improv are idiots, but they might be.
Yeah, but for example, so I don't have like skills in acting,
yeah.
So I can't do voices. Like I have one voice,
mm-hmm.
which is an Eastern European accent. And
so your voice.
Yeah, and I can't do like impressions, right?
Yeah.
So I can't do like an act out of like three different nationalities talking. Like that's not my range.
Right.
So there's like certain things I will never be able to like do on stage. I can just be like, oh, I was thinking this, and you know, you just do it like a stupid voice.
Yeah.
Well, you have skills. I saw you play a guitar.
Ukulele. Did you take it? I can't find it.
You still
I can't
miss
find
it?
My ukulele. There's a ukulele thief amongst us. Honestly, there was a pink ukulele here at the clubhouse. That's missing. My ukulele's missing. There's a ukulele thief amongst us. And maybe it's you because you're visiting. I don't know.
I love really small guitars. That's my fetish.
Just really into the tiny.
I like how they feel in my big hand.
Yeah, like how, like, I bet like a ukulele to you, like you could probably like the reason why I started playing ukulele is because my hands are too small to play certain chords on the guitar. Or like they're not necessarily too small. For the record, my hand is about the size of Donatus's palm. So doesn't mean he has big hands. Just means I have small ones, right?
We need to put a banana for scale between us.
We have a Vici here. Here's a Vici. Here, I'm going to hold. Oh, it like blends in with the green screen. Okay, I'm going to hold this Vici in my hand, and then you hold it in your hand.
Yeah, the size of your head is crazy how small you are.
Yeah.
We're different species.
I think that too. I really do. I think that we're from like different planets. Wait, okay, so let's go back. Let's talk about you. We got into the big ideas first, but let's go to small ideas. So how did you start comedy?
You mean like how did I even decide to do comedy? Yeah. Or how did I start like just practically?
Both.
Okay. The idea was born very early on, I would say high school.
Mm. Were you like class clown?
Not really clown. I'm not sure. I think I was like pretty like clownish in the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
like primary school. But then the teachers were like, yo, you need to stop doing weird stuff. So I became super serious and I was like, okay, I need to get good grades because my parents are teachers.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, I need to live up to their expectations.
Yeah.
And then you kind of go through years of just like, okay, I'm doing the homework. I kind of playing this like game of school. And then just about like 10th grade, just like 2 years before graduating, you get this thought where like, oh no, like I'll have to be an adult.
Yeah.
What am I going to be when I grow up? And then like you ask your parents like, what should they be? What should I do? And they don't know. They're like, yeah, maybe you should be like a doctor, you know?
Yeah, they literally know nothing. Parents know nothing.
Yeah, and you're so young and dumb. You think they know everything.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, she's probably right. Like, she's lived, you know?
Yeah, like, they literally, they're like, yeah, just be a job that makes money. Like, that's all they care about.
Yeah, I grew up with that mindset. I was like, yeah. I wish I get to make, I think what was at the time, I don't know, 300 euros. That was my goal, 300 euros. It was like, if I could have 300 euros, you know? I could buy my dad a house,
my mom a house. Is that what it's really like in Lithuania? Eastern European is like the economy of Eastern Europe is so bad that 300 euros buys a house.
This was back. This is 2006. I don't have like references for 2006. I don't even know what Eurovision.
That's before the housing crisis.
Yeah, but I don't know if Lithuania got affected that much. Back then, so we didn't have euro up until like 2015.
Oh, wow.
But
what did you have before that?
Litas.
Interesting.
Litas is our own currency.
What were they worth? Like, what was it like?
I think at the time, like, 1 euro, it was 3.5 litas. But, like, I mean, you have to put everything in perspective. So, I think back in high school, for 1 euro, I could get, like, a steak and
what
some soup and some, like, fake juice. You know,
fake juice.
It's just water with taste.
Oh, juice.
So like you get no vitamins, but you have all the fun. And that was like
crazy
me growing up. And I remember I would be saving money, like lunch money, because yeah. I was like already having that mindset, like I need to save money, you know, because I wanted to have my own money. And I didn't know for what, but I was like, I need to save, you know.
Yeah.
So I would skip lunch. And which is, looking back, was a bad idea because it's like...
Yeah, you have...
This is, you think I'm skinny now.
Yeah.
Like, back then it was crazy.
But you know what it does prove is that eating lunch has nothing to do with how tall you grow.
Imagine how big I'd be.
If you ate lunch.
If I had, like, that American diet that you grew up on.
Oh, my God. Well, that's the... I grew up on an American diet, and I'm still really short, so...
Yeah.
And they also, like, parents, they're like, drink your milk. Right? Did they tell you this in Lithuania to drink your milk?
Yeah, I think that's what helped me because back in Lithuania at the time we had like real, real milk, you know? You would, like I remember...
Like you would go to the farm and get it yourself.
No, but here's the thing, like the farm would come to us, you know?
Whoa.
So there was like an old lady or a dude by the tree, like once a week, sitting and like selling like milk that was like warm and fresh out of the cow's like tit. So you could almost taste the heat from an animal. Like it was as fresh as it gets. Not pasteurized bullshit. You get all the microbes. It's good, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what made me grow.
That's wild.
That one I love.
I love the idea of just like an old lady by a tree with just like jugs of milk.
Good business back in, I don't think she's alive anymore. There's too much had happened.
So sad. R.I.P. old lady by the tree.
No, but this is fun. I never thought about it because it's actually so different. Like here in Spain, all the milk is like pasteurized.
Super pasteurized.
Like
here.
It doesn't expire.
Yeah. Like they put it, it's very weird here because like there's a lot of like lactose free milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah. It's probably some processing step that's not great for you.
Yeah. Because I prefer real milk, right? But it hurts my tummy. So then I get the lactose-free milk. And it's a little better.
You need practice. That's the thing.
Oh, I drank a lot of milk as a kid.
Okay. So maybe you're just one of those. It's not in your...
I think I'm just Jewish.
Well, being lactose intolerant, that's like a natural way for people to be. It's more like it's a mutation on my side that makes me able to digest that, you know?
Yeah. So you're the mutant.
Exactly.
And I'm normal.
I'm the Chernobyl survivor.
Honestly, how close is Lithuania to Chernobyl?
I mean, there's a few countries in between. Not that close.
Again, American geography. I really don't. I could not find Lithuania on a map.
That's fine. You know,
what is it next to?
It's next to Poland.
Oh, I know where Poland is.
Yeah, that helps a bit.
Yeah,
it's better than saying it's next to Latvia, which tells you nothing.
I thought that they were the same country for the longest time. So. No, I'm making myself sound dumber just for the comedy purposes. But
no, you're not dumb. Because the thing is, like, that's how I feel about other countries like in the Balkans,
mm-hmm.
you know? I'm just, like, not paying attention. I don't know the capitals. I don't know. Like, Eurovision is so confusing.
Yeah.
Because when you get to those countries, they're just voting for each other. And yeah, I don't know the difference between them. And I'm like, you know what?
What do you mean? What are the Balkan countries?
We should all be Russians. That's my point. What makes it should be Russia.
Russia. Man in the studio. He's ready to conquer the comedy clubhouse.
It would be so much easier, right?
Yeah.
It's Eurovision, two countries.
Russia and Israel. That was a good joke.
Keep it. I can't do it.
Fair enough. Wait, so yeah, okay. So you grew up in Lithuania.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to the original question, which is why I started doing stand-up.
Oh yeah, fun thing about this podcast is we never answer the original question.
I keep track. I remember. We'll get to it.
Good. Okay, so you were in high school and you were like, I don't know what to be when I grow up.
Yeah, so my parents told me that maybe I should be a doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't like the sight of blood. I don't like giving blood. I don't think I'm going to go
imagine
through it.
Imagine being a doctor and not liking the sight of blood. Like, that's a very funny character.
I've never given blood, but I think...
You don't give blood. You have so much.
I do have a lot of blood. I eat so much meat. I think I have too much iron in my body.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I eat a lot of meat, but I was actually low in iron. You might be low in iron, and then you eat meat naturally to make up for it.
I think I'm pretty high, because they did test me.
Oh, they tested you.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you have too much iron.
It was very...
You're Iron Man.
Like... And what, you're the Hulk? What are you?
I'm going to blend in with this green screen. You don't like me when I'm angry.
Jamie getting angry.
Doesn't happen. I've learned. I used to get angry a lot as a kid, so I've learned how to just not get angry.
Did you have these, like, what's it called? Like, anger tantrums? You know, when the kids, they're like, start shaking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have that.
You had that too?
Yeah.
Interesting. What did you do?
Nothing. I would just, like, clench my fists and shake.
Interesting. I would freak out and, like, cry and, like bang on things, and I was a bad kid and I not that I was like bad, but my mom like would have to like kind of like hold me down, be like, it's gonna be okay. And I realized later now that those were kind of like panic attacks, that it's just like you're kind of overwhelmed with emotion, and so you just let it out as like crying, screaming, tantrum.
So you get panic attacks as a kid?
Yeah, but you don't know what it is or how to deal with it, so you just
So you're already traumatized as a child.
Yeah.
Like, it can get worse from there, right?
Yeah. It's like, why is it? It's so funny because I was like, I'm American. Like, I was raised in like first world, like capitalist society. And I was like beyond fucked up already. And I don't know. From what I hear about Eastern Europe, I don't even think I've been to Eastern. I've been to Romania.
Okay. That's Eastern Europe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it, I guess. And Hungary. Is Hungary Eastern Europe?
Yeah, Hungary.
Hungary.
Yeah.
I like Hungary.
Starving. It's so lame.
That was a very bad joke.
It's so bad. I always get nervous when somebody's in the crowd from Hungary and I'm like, I have nothing. I shouldn't say this, at least.
Yeah. I do that with Malta. Whenever there's people from Malta, I'm like, you guys are Maltese. And I just think of fluffy white dogs. And no one thinks it's funny, but it's funny to me. You know?
Maltese.
Like, I did a show in Malta once, and I was like, how many of you are Maltese? And a bunch of people cheered. And I'm like, I'm just imagining that you're all tiny fluffy white dogs right now. Just like an audience of like little Maltese dogs.
Just woof, woof, woof.
But no one thought it was funny.
You bombed in Malta.
I actually did okay. I did an abortion joke, and apparently abortion's like not legal there, so
it's not. I have 8 minutes on abortion.
Nice. Eight. Mm-hmm. Very specific. What are those like? What's the theme of it?
I think you heard, but I was doing it like very deadpan, and I just bombed for 8 minutes.
Nice.
The whole joke is like, I think I roasted Mila with this joke, which I later found out maybe I shouldn't do material in the roasts.
You can, though.
But I didn't know better, so I was like, I didn't know Mila at the time, so I was like, what can I say to, like, insult her, you know?
Your roast of Mila is so funny.
Thanks. I like that we actually did, fuck yeah, you know?
You did one of the best roast battles in Barcelona.
Yeah,
according to Roast Battle League.
Yeah, third in the world on the planet Earth.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. You're obsessed with that little thing. Maybe I should take it away.
I like it.
That's cool. It's funny because these finger puppets have been in the studio and only you and Andy have
So this has been fingered by me and Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
I don't know who else comes in the studio. You smell. How's it smell?
My smell?
How does the...
Oh, that's fine.
He's good?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think I said something about Mila, like she's an abortion survivor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it was like a, like, advice to mothers to make sure that if they do abortions, they have to make sure that the baby's dead.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That was funny. I liked
it. Yeah.
It reminded me of, you know, that episode of Always Sunny? Do you watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, I know what you're talking about, but...
You should watch it. I think you'd really like it. It's really funny. There's an episode. So there's a running joke in it that one of the characters, Charlie, is an abortion survivor.
Oh man, they took my joke.
Well, they wrote it first. So.
Fuck.
But it's like, it's funny because it's like his mom is like, there's a running joke that his mom is like a slut or technically a whore, as Danny DeVito would say. Mm. And the joke is that. Danny DeVito had hooked up with Charlie's mom in the past, and so they're like, oh my god, Charlie, like, you could be his son. And then he's like, no, I took her to get an abortion. And then she reveals, and she's just like, the abortion didn't take. And it's like the funniest phrasing of it.
Like, it didn't work.
Yeah, but it's just like, the abortion didn't take. Like, no one says that, you know? It's like, because, like, yeah, I guess with English not as a first language, like, if something didn't take, it's like kind of like saying like
didn't take place.
Yeah, like like it didn't stick.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like it didn't take. It's like it didn't stick.
Okay.
So it's like a very funny way of saying like, and so like the abortion didn't work. But instead of saying it didn't work, just say it's like.
In what other sentence would you use that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something like that didn't take. Like
the bus didn't take.
No. This is really hard on the spot because it's like kind of like a phrasal thing. It's like if something didn't take, like if my tan didn't take, I don't know.
Ah, like didn't stick.
Yeah.
Didn't set in.
Yeah, okay. Like something didn't set.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't even know if that's like a good phrase or not, though. I don't know. It's hard. English is hard.
Yeah, but I would say like didn't take is something you attempted, but it didn't like
work. Yeah.
Yeah, but the attempt was made.
Yeah.
The more you know. With Jamie Lerner.
English lessons. How did you learn English?
So my mother is an English teacher.
Oh, amazing. Because your English is like really good.
Yeah, but she doesn't... I mean, I didn't get this good from her. Mm. She's really good with grammar. Because I guess in Lithuania, she was just like, okay, so I'm a history teacher. I need more skills. Let's be an English teacher, you know?
Cool.
So she learned that.
Because everyone needs multiple jobs in Lithuania.
I think so. I don't know how people survive. She was really good at like explaining grammar, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I had pretty good basics. But I think my English unlocked more just with like media, yeah. you know, like watching TV and playing video games.
What sort of TV and games?
Just Cartoon like? Network.
Nice. Yeah. Powerpuff Girls?
Yeah.
Love Powerpuff
yeah,
Girls.
Yeah, Bubbles. What's Mojo Jojo?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
Professor Sugar X. Spice and Everything Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
These are the, what's it called? Three ingredients? I don't know.
Yeah, these are the ingredients. Something and then there's like ingredient X or
chemical
something.
Chemical
yeah. X. Yeah. See, I was watching the other day on Netflix. You know, it's on Netflix here now.
Yeah, I don't have Netflix, but yeah,
I'm you don't aware have Netflix?
Of it. No.
What do you use?
I keep my subscriptions to minimum. I don't have Spotify. I don't have Netflix. I want to listen to music. I go on YouTube. I type in music. I hit play. No, literally. Like I would do a joke that that's how I listen to because I don't know. Like I don't have like. Like, I started building, like, a playlist later in life because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I should maybe know some songs, you know?
Yeah.
But I just type in, like, hip-hop and anything. Like, 2 hours of gym workout motivation.
Nice.
And I'm just in the kitchen making, like, peanut butter sandwiches.
That's crazy. I don't know how you live without subscriptions.
It saves a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm sure you're saving probably, like, $200 a month. Like,
oh, $200 a month, I wish.
No, really. I mean, Netflix is now like what, like 15. Spotify is like, they're all expensive. But I don't know. My mom has some. My brother has some. I have some, and then we like all share and stuff.
I think it's good to like spend some time bored or like in your head because you get to think. And honestly, that it's kind of hard to get to that place because you can still do a lot of stuff for free, like listen to podcasts. You know. Maybe there's going to be some ads, but you can still listen to hours of like content on coffee or jokes, anything you want.
That's true.
It's pretty crazy. I don't know where was this chat tangent coming from right now in this conversation?
See, I told you we would lose it. We would lose it. Okay, we'll go back to the original question. How did you start comedy? This entire podcast is just circling back to that one question.
I do kind of like how it works, though. Because, like, you just... Okay, so there's one obvious question, and I was like, let's go back.
Yeah, well, it always gives you an out, right? Whenever there's, like, a lull of silence, you're just like, oh, yeah, we never actually answered the question.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool because I never get to talk about, like, growing up. And this is, like, opportunity to kind of look back, you know, and also tell you stuff. Like, I didn't know about
I know nothing about you, to be honest. I just know that you're tall and funny.
You never thought about the milk that I was buying. Yeah. I think this is the first time I actually reflected on this as an adult.
on milk.
Yeah. I like that. Fresh milk. That makes sense.
I think there were some bits in there for you.
Yeah, because I often talk to people and I'm like, man, you just started stand-up. Like, your life is so interesting. You have kids. You have divorced someone. God. You know, you're from these different places. Like, somebody stabbed you. Like, you have so much to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, just talk about this. Like, be honest. Say personal stuff. And then I go on stage and I'm like, yeah, I don't have anything to talk about. It's almost like I haven't lived.
Yeah. Do you ever feel that? Like, having done comedy most of, like, your... Because you've been doing it the last 5 years. So you were, what, like 25? I don't know. How old are you?
I'm 31.
Oh, yeah. We're the same age.
Nice. Your birthday is Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I turned 31.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought we were the same age. So, yeah. 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 So, do you ever feel like, because I feel this, like having lived most of my 20s, like trying to do comedy of some sort, that I'm like, what do I talk about? Like doing comedy? Like, that's not interesting. Or dating. That's it.
Yeah. Dating is, it seems hack as a premise.
It does.
But your take could be unique. So still do it because it's like relatable, you know?
What do you talk about dating wise?
I think I do the same like premise. Like you can talk about like the dating culture that's happening right now, which is very digital.
so digital.
Like you can.
Do you
definitely
use the apps?
I use the apps, but
you just put your height in no picture.
There is my height.
I just, not that you wouldn't use a picture, but I just you think it's to. Funny to just be like, I'm tall. It doesn't matter what
you,
I look
you
like.
You can't see my head, just my neck showing.
You get like pictures with people where you're just like a head above them. Like it doesn't matter what you look like because you're tall and that's all women care about.
Yeah. I mean, I have, that's pretty standard, I would say. Like you have to put in like a picture with a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Like you type in your height, you put in one picture shirtless and go fishing.
Go fishing.
Yeah.
You have a fish photo?
No.
You need one.
No, that's stupid. I do like fishing, though.
I kind of want a fish photo just to make fun of all the fish photos. You like fishing?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to like going back to Lithuania and just fishing with my cousins.
That's so nice. That's so like wholesome.
Yeah, I have like core memories just learning how to fish like with my grandfather and my like cousins. Like
wow.
So often like when I go back, I'm like, oh, I like to relive some of my childhood. So we go to the same places, like to fish, but everything's different now. We're all old, you know, and the fish are dead because the climate change or something. And so I catch less than before. And I'm like, oh, this isn't the same.
Oh, I thought you were just catching dead fish. Just like throwing a net and being like, I got these.
Look at these. Cadavers.
They were on the top.
I call this one Joe Biden.
This one's just America's democracy. Amazing. That's funny. I can't believe you fished growing up. That's kind of cool.
No, it's fun. I mean, I like, you know, hunting and gathering.
I am caveman. I am man.
I sometimes I think about like being on a, like a deserted island and just defaulting to like my natural instincts and like, would I contribute? Would I survive?
Do you think?
I think I do well, unless I get cold. I don't do well. Like, if I get cold, yeah, that might suck.
Yeah.
Being
cold sucks. I'm the same way. I do not like being cold.
But that's the thing. I kind of, like, expose myself to cold because I'm based and live in Sweden right now.
Right.
So I kind of enjoy just throwing myself into, like, just ice water.
Oh, what the fuck?
Because there's benefits. You know?
There are.
You feel like refreshed. Like...
Yeah. There's a spa here called Aire. And there's like, they have like the bath cycles. So they have like it's like a warm one and then a cold one and then a hot one and then a freezing one. And you just do the cycle again and again. And it gets easier and easier to do the freezing one. But it's also so nice to do the hot one. It's like, and the cold one, the first time you do it, because the cold one's like, I don't know, like, 17 degrees Celsius or something.
No way. That's warm.
Maybe it's 13.
Try zero?
No. The freezing one is like zero.
Okay.
But the cold one is like 10 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's cold. And the first time you do it, you're like, what the fuck? I can't do this. But then... The second time you do, after you've done the freezing cold one, even if you do a warm one in between, you're just like, oh, this is easy. And I went with a guy last time and he sat in the cold one for a while and was like, I hit a meditative state.
You're just passing out, dizzy.
Yeah. And he was just like, he was like, I kind of hallucinated. It's like,
it does happen when you go like hot to cold, cold to hot.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly. It's like a thing.
It's cool you have that here.
Yeah. There's a big spa culture here, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have spas? I guess in Sweden. I mean, there's got to be.
I just tried once or twice symbolically. I don't know. It just feels like I don't belong there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just a fancy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is fancy.
Yeah.
You can be fancy, though.
Sometimes.
People who are fancier are all pretending. Actually, no. Some of them are genuinely fancy, and those people are so boring.
Genuinely fancy?
Yeah.
Okay, so the people who are genuinely fancy are boring, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Right, yeah. People who are just rich and actually fancy, like all have designer clothes, like shit like that.
Yeah, that's their personality.
That's their personality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But a lot of people go and pretend to be fancy. Like, I pretend to be fancy.
Well, you have glitter on your eyes right now.
I do.
You definitely prepared.
I'm fancy.
Ask one question and put on makeup.
Exactly. No, I have a whole list of questions, but I like when it's like natural conversation.
It's just fun talking.
It is fun talking.
But yeah, I don't know. To answer the question, I kind of started thinking about stand-up at the end of like high school because I watched like a Bill Burr special.
Cool. Okay.
And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then I had some public speaking experiences in high school, like organizing events. And I riffed a few jokes on stage. And I was like, ooh, getting a laugh from a crowd, that feels amazing. And stand-up kind of started in Lithuania. And it was on TV and it became like a big thing. Mm-hmm. But I always wanted to do it in English. And I kind of pictured myself like living abroad and trying to do it in English.
Wow.
So I started studying engineering, which was a very general engineering program. Because again, safety net, you know, Lithuania, yeah. Very important. I was like, I'm going to make my 300 euros. Life is going to be great. So I was like, let's study this. And I studied in English, which was very funny. Because the program was in English, but it was taught by just these old Eastern European dudes who, like, I think they would prefer speaking Russian.
Yeah.
But they had to, like, just speak in broken English. So, like, my first year was, like, really, like, eye-opening. Because I went in there, I was like...
Where did you study?
Kaunas University of Technology.
Okay.
It's, where, like, is that? Second biggest city in Lithuania.
Okay.
And it's, like, a technology school,
you know. What's the biggest city in Lithuania?
Vilnius, the capital.
Would not have come up with that.
I know. No, but I need to tell you this because my first year, just in engineering, I had math one, math two. Uh-huh. So we have both theory and practice. And I remember like one of the practice sessions, it was like December, mm-hmm. and we're in this cold hall, you know? And it's so cold, the windows are somehow like had holes and there's like a little bit of snow inside. Oh. Like there's snow on the window, you know, and there's this professor walking around just with a jacket, you know, and everyone is like just wearing like these thick jackets, like you almost want to put on gloves and you're writing. And you know how like these days, like people at like academia are like really like inclusive, you know, and like they're careful.
Yeah.
No, this dude, he had no filters. He would be walking around. He would like stop and just look at your notes and just be like. Look at him. This guy, he doesn't know a derivative. He takes your notes, points at the wrong.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so he would send you to the board. Like
this is the most Russian shit I've ever heard.
It is so crazy. Like he would just like make fun of you.
Wow, that's amazing. I love, that's what I like to picture when I picture Eastern European University. It's just like asshole old Russian men.
It was old, like smart, but like old men.
Yeah. Were there like, any women in your class?
Yeah, we had a few. Yeah, maybe like four or five. Yeah.
Out of how many people?
I don't know, like 25. It was like a small, like international.
Yeah.
This engineering was more towards management. So I think it was like, yeah, good mix.
A little more female friendly.
More female friendly for sure. Yeah.
That's good. Mm. I like that. So you studied engineering.
Yeah, but I was thinking about stand-up comedy.
Nice. Stand-up comedy.
Well, I was like, where do you do it, you know?
Yeah. Where did you do it?
I decided that it's time for me to study abroad, so I moved to Sweden to, mm-hmm. like, study. And, yeah.
How old were you?
So my first exchange happened, like, I don't know, like 2 years, 3 years into university. Mm-hmm. So I just went there for, like, 6 months.
Cool.
I don't know how old I was, 22?
Yeah.
21. And then... I came back to Lithuania and I was like, this sucks. I want to go back.
Yeah.
So I think 2-3 years later, I studied another program. I was doing my master's, so I just moved back to Sweden. And then I really was like, I'm depressed. Where is the stand-up, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no sun there most of the time, so.
Yeah. Well, summer's a lot of sun.
That's true.
If there's no clouds. Because the days are long, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, midsummer is super fun in Sweden.
Yeah. I've seen the movie. It looks...
Oh, yeah, crazy. That one.
It looks super fun. I love the idea of just like, you know, cults like stealing, you know, killing people when they get old.
Yeah, Swedish people are a bit weird. Yeah.
In what ways?
Yeah, you need to get used to it. Because like, I mean, I joke about this here, but like it is true. Like I came here and people just seem so alive, you know?
Yeah.
Just full of life.
Yeah.
And like Swedish people, they're more like antisocial. There's like boundaries you need to kind of pass.
Interesting.
Like they can be like close friends, but you need to get to them, you know?
Yeah.
And often it's like just not worth the trouble. So you're just like,
shitty anyway.
Yeah, I'll just hang out with my Romanian friends.
That's fun.
You know?
Yeah. Do you know about like the Romanian comedy scene at all? Because like there's a lot of us have gone over to do Stand Up Revolution and like...
In English to Romania?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So like I did that last year. Mariah did it. Hannah did it. A bunch of us went and performed in English on Stand Up Revolution. So we met like Costel was my coach. Do you know Costel?
Mm-mm.
He's like a Romanian comedian. So like a bunch of like Romanian comedians like know a bunch of us here. Like this woman Maria is a comedian there, and then yeah, and then there's a show there called Ayumord.
Ayumord, and it's in English.
Ayumor, Ayumor. No, all the shows are in Romanian, but they just let us perform in English because they need more people.
They don't have an English comedy scene, so you just join the local shows?
They have a little bit, I think. They have a bit of an English comedy scene in like Bucharest and in there's like a big university town.
I don't know.
Like four letters.
Could be anything.
I don't know. Because I made friends with some Romanian comedians and they were like, yeah, go come over here. Like we do a lot of English shows over there because it's a big university city. Maybe it begins with an L.
I only know a couple Romanian comedians. Shout out Victor Patrashkan.
Oh, he's great.
Super cool guy.
He's Romanian, yeah.
Yeah. I have a gig with him in Stockholm on Friday.
Oh, hell yeah. Are you opening for him?
Yeah. Yeah, he just texted me because I was like, hey, man, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
And I'm doing another show, so after that one, I'll go open for him.
Nice.
I think
congrats.
It's sold out.
That's exciting,
so
yeah.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, he's like really crushing it lately. He's been touring and like everyone's been speaking really highly of him.
Yeah,
he
works so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always going somewhere, doing something.
Yeah.
No chill. I don't know if I'd like that life, but I think I should like dabble into it a little bit.
Yeah, what do you see for yourself as far as doing comedy in Europe?
I think I'm a little bit like exploring this year because I was based in Sweden for so long and only did stand up there, but some trips to Europe, like to do stand up like in Netherlands and like Denmark, you know. So I just want to like explore this year and see how I feel. So I didn't know how I was going to feel about Barcelona, but I really love it here.
Yay!
To be honest, like it would be like a good like base, good home.
Because
I was in Edinburgh Fringe like last year and they heard good things about this place.
Nice.
And I was like,
did you meet any of us last year at the Fringe?
I might have ran into some, but I don't know.
But you don't really remember.
No. I think I might have met Mariah, but we don't have like a memory of each other. Maybe I saw just a flyer and I registered her face. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we were on the same flyer, so...
Yeah, I think I might have that flyer then.
Of us on the toilet.
Because I remember remember holding that flyer and I was like, hey man, like who are these, you know? These are some chicks from Barcelona. And I was like, Barcelona has a comedy scene, you know?
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, cool. I need to check it out. Because I've been to Berlin like a couple of times and I was like, Barcelona, right?
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, because everyone is like, Berlin, that's the center of European comedy. And we're trying to be like, nah, it's Barcelona, bitches. I think it's like a fake rivalry we have with Berlin. People don't even know about our fake rivalry with them. Like that's how much bigger their scene is.
And they don't even feel you.
Nah. Although in all fairness, we are part of the Rose Battle League and they are not. So
you're crushing it. Like the Rose Battle thing.
Yeah. Well, you crushed it.
You're welcome.
Honestly, thank you. Because we just get to claim you as like our battler for that battle. So actually they have a new rule this year where if you're a visiting comedian and you represent a different city. So let's say I go to New York and I do a battle and that battle gets ranked.
Yeah.
New York will get all the points for the battle, but then I'll also bring home half points for Barcelona. So, but because you don't have an official city.
Yeah.
Then you just are Barcelona.
I'm persona non grata.
Ooh, but you know what? You should go battle in other cities and still represent us.
Yeah.
Yeah, like go to London and be like, yeah, I'm representing Barcelona.
I'm happy to represent Barcelona.
Yes. Yeah. We want you to write. We love you here.
That makes me feel so good.
Because
I really care about what people think of me.
Do you?
I'm so needy. I need validation on and off stage.
I'm the same way.
I hug people all the time. Sometimes I feel they don't want to.
I don't think that has anything to do with your personality. I think I'm just like, I feel like hugging you would be like I think we did it the other day where we tested where the mic was for me and for you, like the height of it.
Yeah.
And I think I'm like literally up to like here on you.
I'm actually even now like, I feel like I'm a little bit like shoulders rounded. Because if I'm like a person, like I would be here.
Why is your neck so long?
I need to show off my neck.
Mila's joke about you looking at the second story windows was probably one of the best roast jokes
what did you
I've
say?
Ever heard.
Donata's favorite sex position is outside the window because he likes to make eye contact on the second floor.
So funny.
She really exposed like just that I look weird because I wouldn't do too many jokes about my looks, but I think I should start.
Yeah. I don't think it's that you like look weird. I mean, it's looking weird is like people say that's like a bad thing, but I don't think it's like a bad, like I think that like having a unique look is like a good thing.
Yeah, it gives you something to stand on. Like you can just like go up and immediately have something to mention.
Yeah.
Like the contrast between like a really short host and a tall performer. When I go up and I'm like, adjust your eyes, guys.
Yeah, like that's already funny. It's yeah. just like, you know who does, sometimes who does jokes about their looks is Ewan, who yeah. also, he has got a unique look and he has like a thing, I don't know.
Like a young Putin.
Yeah, like a, he looks like every heroin addict ever. Like he looks like a Tim Burton character, sort of, I don't know. But I think like having a unique look is a good thing. And weird, when we say like weird, I just don't want you to think that's like a bad thing. Like we're not saying like...
No, no, that's fine. That's fine. I was thinking like, I need to write more skinny material, you know, because I'm skinny.
Yeah.
But I was like, these jokes won't work in the future. I'm planning to get jacked. So it's like, because I'm eating, like I'm bulking, you know.
You kind of seem like you're bulking though, because like you put your arm out the other day or like just now and you have like... Like forearm muscle.
No, but that's what skinny people look like. Like you see everything, you know? You can see the bone, you can see the veins.
I don't know though. You like you're more muscular than I expect. When did you take your shirt off at some point? Oh yeah, during the strip show, the comedy strip show.
Yeah, I did the comedy striptease.
Yeah, and you were like more jacked than I expected.
I'm lean. I think I'm like 10% body fat or something.
That doesn't surprise me, yeah.
But like it doesn't...
You're lean, but you have muscle. You're not just like skin and bone.
Yeah, but like it's not like I'm... I still don't look like a person. Like, because you see like a shorter guy who's like just more round. Like, I don't know if that's like... Up close, I might look intimidatingly like... I might even look like jacked, you know? But like from a distance, I'm an alien. Because I'm like very skinny, you know? Yeah. And I think I just need to like put on like fat. And it's very hard because I eat like twice a day because I'm always walking somewhere.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And especially if you're traveling a lot, it's hard to kind of have a food routine. I haven't eaten properly in like 2 months because I've been in the middle of moving. So I like haven't had a chance to cook for myself. Or
I don't know how people get fat. Well, I do, but...
That was so rude to fat people.
You know who you are.
It's like, how do you do it? Yeah, I mean, it's harder. I mean, you're tall, so it's going to be really hard for you to get fat. Because like if you eat, so like if I ate, let's say like 3 big bowls of pasta a day, like that would probably get me fat.
But you can't eat that. There's no protein and just carbs.
Well, and carbs. Let's say I'm eating 3 bowls of pasta and chicken in it and, you know, like, let's say I'm eating meals, right? But,
yeah.
like, there's a lot of carbs in the meals.
Yeah.
I'd probably just get fat, right? But if you ate that same amount, 3 bowls of pasta, you're just going to store that energy because you're tall, right? It's not going to, it doesn't go anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right? There is difference like, in metabolisms for sure.
Metabolisms. And I think height is, like, also... kind of a factor because like you need more calories than I do.
Yeah, because I'm like a big hanger that I can put like on a big coat and they still look like okay. You're like a small hanger. Like you can't put a big coat on you.
Exactly. If I put a big coat on, it's gonna drown me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense. Sorry for the fat people.
Every podcast I offend someone, so it's fine. If it's just fat people this time, whatever, you know, like, no, I'm kidding. It's I don't know. I'm not going to talk about fatness. I'm going to shut up.
I don't know if we can even talk about it on stage, like, because I have like stuff about it, and I'm sometimes like, even this topic, like, is the crowd with me, you know? Like, I don't know. I'm just really checking, like, what topics are more sensitive, less sensitive.
I think you should talk about Israel and Palestine.
I don't have an... I learned last year about Israel and Palestine.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
I knew they had something. I knew there was something there.
I wish more people would say that. Because so many people are like, I need to have an opinion on this. And it's like, you didn't even learn that there was a conflict until last year. Like...
Yeah.
And it's like, why are you all of a sudden an expert on the foreign affairs of the only Jewish country in the world? Like, it just, it can feel very, as a Jewish person, it can feel very, like, targeted when everyone in the world is all of a sudden an expert on this one tiny country when there's a lot of atrocities going on, a lot of wars in the world, in the Middle East and in Africa and in other countries. And it's very, like... Okay, now you're an expert. So anyway, all I'm saying is you have a really good perspective of, I only learned about it last year.
Yeah. I also stand with the Ukraine guys. Never forget.
Nice. Yeah, like everyone just forgot about Ukraine because like Israel is in a war. Like,
yeah.
And I'm not to say that like, you know, I think there's a lot of innocent lives lost that shouldn't have been lost. And, you know, there's a far right government in Israel that's not quite handling the conflict in the right way.
I learned last year right from left also.
Really?
Yeah. Left-wing politics and right-wing politics. I'm learning these days.
How did you not
I'm so
know
dumb.
About that?
I, like, politically, I'm, what's the word? Retarded?
Stupid? An idiot?
Yeah, but I'm learning a lot.
Nice.
Because I, my landlord is a good friend. He tells me a lot of stuff. Like,
cool.
I think he's on the left, I think.
Yeah. Most good people. if you're talking to people that are too far right, it's there. I don't know. I don't mind people who have right leaning opinions. Cause,
so like Hitler.
Yeah, he's my guy. Love him. No, one of my favorite jokes someone told me recently was someone trying to come up with a bit, being like, "I'm a big fan of Hitler." Just his art.
You know? Just his art. That's a good joke.
Right?
I can see technically it works. It's great.
Yeah, because he was an artist.
Yeah.
In the way that he killed Jews, you
and
know?
And other things. Yeah. He was, yeah.
No, but like, so yeah, like Trump is like obviously like right-leaning, is a right, far right. Netanyahu is far right. Mm-hmm. Rishi Sunak is far right. A lot of people in power are far right, which means that a lot of people in those democracies that are voting are also pretty far right. And that's the scary part about it, right? So, I don't know. I have no idea how the politics are in Spain, though, which is where I live. So, who knows?
How long have you been here?
2.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still early.
Yeah. I've got time. I'm trying to learn the language first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll start learning how to vote. I mean, I'm not allowed to vote until I'm a citizen, which wouldn't be for at least another 7.5 years. If
are
I
you
go
trying?
For it.
Is that your goal?
Maybe.
Okay.
Would be nice. Have options, you know.
Yeah.
If I ever have kids, then, you know, if the states go into disarray,
mm-hmm.
then they can always.
I used to think that I'd like to move to the United States.
Why?
Of America. But I don't know. Like lately, I'm just seeing like maybe Europe is fine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you want to move to the
States? Stand up. Just stand up.
Yeah.
Like all my heroes are there.
Who are your heroes? Who are your stand up inspirations?
Bill Burr for sure.
Bill Burr. Love him. Did you watch Bill Burr and Friends? It was his Netflix special, but it was like a Friends. It was like he hosted, and then there were like five comedians.
I might have tried, but I didn't have Netflix, so I gave up.
Mm.
But I saw him live. I think this or last year in
Where?
Stockholm.
No way.
Yeah, he came through.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Wasn't the best way to consume stand-up because it was like an arena with like, I don't know, 11, 15,000 people.
Holy shit. Yeah.
And I was just far and people were going up and down, like getting more beers.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just couldn't feel the energy, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I saw the guy. So that's fun.
That's cool. Yeah. That's
really like special. In the past couple of years, I really saw like most of the main guys, like Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Louis C.K. Stockholm, Gothenburg sometimes, which is where I'm based.
Wow.
And Copenhagen. Yeah. Copenhagen is a good place.
I love Copenhagen.
Yeah.
There's not really a big English scene there, though.
No. You can do some English stand-up. There's a few places I know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Next time I go, I'll hit you up.
Okay, yeah.
Because I've gone a couple of times. I have some family there.
Nice.
Not like blood family, but like family friends, I guess.
Okay.
The way. But yeah, no, I'm just Jewish, so I don't have any relatives that aren't Jewish, which would mean I have no relatives in Denver. Like, imagine me having like blood relatives that are just like 10 feet tall, like Danish.
Something's weird.
Yeah. Like, how did that happen? You know, she did not get that gene. Yeah, no. So, yeah. Cool. Wait. Okay. So, what brought you to Barcelona? Like, why? So, you were like, I'm going to go visit the sea and see what the hype is.
Yeah, literally. Just wanted to check it out. And I had this friend here. I have this friend here who's like...
Oh, who's your friend?
So, this guy I'm staying with, like, nice. I told you about. And, yeah, he's super sweet. And I was like, hey, man, I'll just stay with you.
Nice.
For like a month and a half. Check it out, you know. I'm paying him some rent. You know, it's symbolic.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm having a lot of fun. I also learned that, like, I like to have, like, roommates. So many people here live with someone,
yeah,
you know, and they complain or, like, they feel a bit antisocial.
Yeah.
But if you live with someone that you like, I'm looking forward to conversations I'm having.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's, I had a roommate here, Emily. We moved here together from New York, and we would live together in New York. So we've lived together since 2016, and I just moved out into my own place, partly because I felt like our roommate relationship was taking over our friendship, and we had a really good, like, balance before where, like, you know, we were friends and we always hung out, and then we were also roommates, and we didn't really get in roommate fights, but we started getting, I think as we both got older, we just started liking things more in our own ways and stuff, and I was just like, I think it's time for me to... have my own place, but I do miss, like, the conversation of a roommate. And I mean, I got a 2-bedroom so that I can just get randos in that second room whenever. So if you're ever back and you need a room, I got one.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like this because you like sit down in the kitchen and you just have like a 3-hour podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, time flies, but it's fun.
Yeah. It's really fun, and it's like it's a good way to connect with people. I don't know. I cry a lot, so I think I cry less if there's other people around.
Why do you cry?
I don't know. Today I was crying because... How honest should I get? Today I was crying because I found out that my ex, like, situationship is taking their new, very young girlfriend on vacation to Morocco, where I've always wanted to go. And I just kind of felt like it just kind of all hit me that, like, I've never had a guy take me on vacation. I haven't gone to Morocco because it's not somewhere I feel like I can go alone. And I'm 31 and I haven't had the sort of, like, love I imagined in my life. And so it's just, like, stuff like that will, like, hit me, and then I get in thought cycles about it and I can't get out of it, and then I cry. So, yeah, that's why. I feel like that's a good reason.
No, I'm glad you shared.
Yeah. Do you ever cry?
Yeah, I never had a boyfriend who would take me to... Actually, you know what's funny? Like, you hear somebody tell you something that they're upset about, and you're like, hey, I never had this either, you know? And you're like, some doesn't bother me. I don't know why she's upset.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like, it doesn't bother everyone, but it's like a thing that I guess, like, a milestone I guess I thought I would hit by now. You know?
Yeah, I think, like, women and guys, like, maybe have, like, different, like, goals or different, like, desires.
Yeah.
So you want to have, like, a partner who would take you on, like, vacation. I, like...
Or go on vacation with. I don't even mean, like, take me or, like, pay for it. Like, I just mean, like, just a guy to travel with, you know?
Okay. Damn, now I feel like I need to take you somewhere.
If you want to, I'm not opposed. We can go to Morocco. Should we go the same week? No, I'm kidding.
If we split the costs.
Yeah.
Do you still get to like feel like a lady? Or is that like...
I think it's still different. Like,
yeah.
Because
you don't get like a female like girlfriend experience.
Yeah, like I want the like the girlfriend experience.
You want the girlfriend experience.
I want the girlfriend experience. That's I don't mind cost splitting costs. I don't mind splitting costs of like lodging and stuff like that. But it's like, oh, like I want like, you know, I want to go on a date out to like a nice dinner. I just like I want some like nice things. You
so
know?
You're gonna go out and fake hold hands.
Yeah. We're gonna fake hold hands. People will think it's like a
people are gonna think I'm like going out with
child
my daughter.
Molestation. Yeah, I was just gonna say that. But yeah, I don't know. I think men and women are definitely trained to want different things societally.
Yeah, I don't know if we're trained.
You know, I don't know. I don't mean trained.
No, but we are different for sure.
Yeah. Like women are taught that our value is in getting married and having babies. Which, like, I don't think I want to have babies, but.
I was talking about this today with
a
friend.
Do you want kids?
At some point, because I'm thinking about death a lot.
Mm.
And I'm like, I don't want to die alone. I want somebody to watch.
Just watch me die.
Like, I want people to be upset. Like, because I'm thinking there's a lot of, like, old people in Sweden who just, like, die in their apartments alone.
Mm.
And then 2 weeks later, somebody finds them because they start smelling.
Ugh.
And then they find out that they had a lot of like money saved up and never spent it.
And it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, just for nothing, for nobody. It's like very sad way.
That's really sad.
Like it's better to like have a family, just give them everything, you know?
Yeah.
Like hate them.
Yeah.
Some resent them, die because of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you did some. You feel like you've done something, you know?
Yeah, like you. Yeah, and I think that's the other side of it is like, I personally would feel better about it if I had like a really impressive career or something, you know, where it's like, oh, I put this on hold so that I could be like a big successful comedian or blah blah blah, and it's like,
yeah, because then you feel like, oh,
like at least I accomplished something.
Yeah, I did something. Like, the sacrifice was for something, you know? Like, it meant something. And I think, like, it sucks because men and women are different. You can't, like, put your biology on hold, you know? So things, sometimes they just have to happen.
Yeah.
So you need to figure out as an adult how to do things simultaneously?
Simultaneously,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like you can't put your career on hold to go find a husband, right? Because you need to survive and make money.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't put your love like you have to just do everything all the time. That's very hard. But let's talk about comedy again. What kind of like
just naming my kids in my head right now.
What are their names?
I don't know. I just hope they don't look like me.
I hope you have kids that look exactly like you.
Just like some girl with that nose.
Hey, look, a big, a distinguished nose.
Let's turn sideways.
Yeah. Distinguished nose.
I wonder whose nose is bigger.
Well, yours is probably bigger in like totality, but proportionally.
You ever like
mine.
You ever like kiss someone and poke them in the eye?
Yeah. Have you kissed someone?
Once it happened, but I had to do like upside down, like Spider-Man.
Oh yeah. It was the only way to make the faces fit. You're
just two puzzle pieces. Just 6 to 9 and kissing.
Have you ever had sex with someone really short?
Yes.
Was it hard?
What do you mean?
But like, was it challenging? Like, does it work?
It's a very like. I feel like there's. Do you know something?
No, I haven't. I think the tallest I've gone is like maybe a little over 6 feet, but just like a little bit.
Yeah, 6 feet is not tall. That's my sister's height.
6 feet is that. The way you said that was very like KGB. That is my sister's height. Like,
yeah, I don't have, like, as I said, I have like one voice and my inflections are. Like, it just sound depressed, I guess.
Yeah, you're a little bit deadpan. But I your comedy is always really funny. So what is your writing process?
change subjects so quick now.
I know. We have like a few minutes left, so I
want to hit everything. Talk about my writing process, because that's also something I always listen to in podcasts when other comedians are in. So people are looking forward to...
What podcasts do you listen to?
Just comedy podcasts. Like, I'm not consistent, but I like Theo Vaughn, you know? And then just whatever guests people have. So I will follow where Bill Burr goes.
Yeah.
You know?
He has a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I listen to his. I listen to him as a guest. But I don't listen to podcasts that much anymore. Mm. But anyways.
I used to listen to You Made It Weird a lot with Pete Holmes. Good comedy podcast.
Pete Holmes is Lithuanian.
Is he?
Yeah.
Crazy.
I think somebody in his family, like, yeah.
That makes sense to me. Yep. He's a tall sort of like...
That's what I was supposed to look like.
Yeah. That's okay. I think you got the lottery on that one.
Yeah.
But your writing process.
Yeah. I think what's most effective for me is not really pen and paper, but more like taking time to talk to myself.
Mm.
As crazy as it sounds, if nobody's home and I just grab something, you know, like a water bottle.
Yeah.
I just speak into it and pretend that there's a crowd. And usually it works really well if I already have like a premise.
Uh-huh.
And there's 2 or 3 hours before the gig and I'm nervous and I have nothing. And I'm like, I need to fill this 10 minutes, you know, with new shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just talking about it, you know, like... Abortion survivor. I'm an abortion survivor. Hey, guys, what do you think? And I'm like, I'm trying to like imagine how would the crowd react to every sentence I say?
Yeah.
Would they be upset? Is my next sentence going to have to defend what I said? You know, I have this like bit where I say that like growing up, my mother used to hit me with a vacuum cleaner.
Ooh.
And it's very interesting to do this bit because it's not really about like anything like deep, you know, but just how funny it is.
Yeah.
To hit a child with a vacuum cleaner.
Right. You're like taking this very traumatic thing and just making it silly.
It's not, it's an exaggeration. It happened like once.
Right.
Because it works.
She hit me with the vac once, never had to do it again. Yeah,
that's what nuclear war was.
Yeah.
Yeah. We only nuked Japan once. Well, twice. Technically. Yeah. But we never had to do it again.
Yeah. Don't fuck with us.
One bombing turned all wars.
Honestly.
Well, not really, but I think it's time for another
one. I mean, actually, it's kind of crazy. This guy wrote an article before Trump was elected president saying that, I think it was after Boris Johnson was elected, though. So it was, I wish I could find the article, but it was this basically a historian saying Trump is going to win and we are going to be entering into a phase of far right politics around the world, and it'll kick off a series of wars. And so we have, you know, Russia on Ukraine right now, Israel, Palestine. A lot of those things are probably going to start coming together in a way where, like, because like Iran is like at the center, Iran is a direct ally to Russia and a direct ally to Hamas. So it's like that's very like a Middle East sort of thing that like the US could then start to get direct, like, yeah, World War III is coming.
You're into this, I can tell.
I'm very politically aware.
Yeah.
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 I have to have some sort of intelligence, you know?
You need to start a parallel podcast where you really get to like,
oh God,
interview Ben Shapiro.
Oh God. Can you imagine? It would just be like Jew on Jew crime.
Jew on Jew just like agreeing with each other.
No, I would never agree with Ben Shapiro. No. Oh my God. What a twat.
You're the same size.
Yeah, exactly. I use mine to my advantage though. Tiny hands.
I don't know what that means.
Tiny vagina.
I don't think it correlates. But actually,
but you know, it doesn't correlate. But big hands.
You know what they say.
Big feet.
I have such a stupid bit on this.
What's your stupid bit?
I don't remember. It's just like, you know what they say. You know, big shoes, like big feet. You know what they say. I just like milk the, like, ask the crowd to like say that one thing,
yeah.
And I just do an act out where I'm like, yeah, I wish it was true, you know, like you go to a shoe store and you don't know your size,
Yeah.
So the salesman can just measure you up by grabbing you by the dick. And he's like, let me guess, size 48, 47, you know, just European. Just
European, I'm a poopin'.
And then it's such a stupid bit.
That's very so silly.
You want to buy some shoes? Nah, I'm just looking around. Thanks.
Thanks. I just wanted you to feel me up. It's just been a long time, you know? That's a funny idea. I used that once on a man. I said, tiny hands, tiny vagina. And then later that night, he was like, it's true. And I was like, like, I used it like as a joke, but then it like kind of worked, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then he thought it was true, and I was like, no, I don't know. It's just, I haven't fucked in a long time.
Oh, they have so many questions. So it changes.
It does, yeah.
Okay. So it's like a stomach. If you don't practice eating a lot of food, it shrinks.
Yeah, yeah.
A tip for fat people.
It's fucked up.
The less you eat, the easier it gets, guys.
That's true, because I've been forgetting to eat a lot, and then lately I just like not eating. I'm like, mm-hmm. I would be great at Survivor. You know Survivor? TV show?
Yeah, it's the people, I'm guessing. But like, it's what I wanted. They send them to an island and they have to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But I always hate it because they have to vote each other out.
I love it.
So that's where the drama comes in.
Yeah.
So I can't be dehydrated and also try to be liked by my tribe.
That's what's hard about it, right? Because you go into the game thinking, okay, I'm going to like... I'm going to be cutthroat. I'm going to like really charm everybody because I'm charming and I'm funny in my real life, right? Like, for example, I would go in and be like, I'm a bartender. Like, I know how to talk to lots of different types of people and blah, blah, blah. And then you get there and it's like, actually, you haven't eaten in 3 days. You're barely sleeping. You're forced to do physical challenges and activities. You're peeing in an ocean. You can't shower. You can't brush your teeth. You're getting mosquito bites, you're getting sunburnt, you're all this stuff, right? If it rains, you're just cold and wet.
You ever been camping?
Kind of.
Okay.
In Israel, I went, like, do you know what birthright is?
Mm-mm.
So, birthright is, like, basically Israel's state-sponsored trips for Jewish people to go see Israel, and it's kind of propaganda-y where they're like, come to Israel so that you love our country and decide to have Jewish children and maybe move here. You know, it's a very like, that's kind of the why it's state sponsored. However, it kind of works and you do learn a lot and meet a lot of people. You meet people from Israel, from Jordan, from Palestine, from, you know, and it's a really eye-opening trip. And so I recommend that anyone who has an opinion on Israel and Palestine go to the Middle East.
Check it out.
It's lit. Go right now when it's really safe. I did like an extreme, like you can pick like themed birthright trips, like, you know, so there's like art ones or like foodie ones, right? And I picked extreme.
Wow. Okay.
Even though hard I'm mode. Like not an outdoorsy person, yeah. I was just like, I love hiking. I'm active. Blah blah blah. And then we did like a 5-hour desert hike, and I was like,
I respect that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that. That's
I made some
me.
Really good friends from it, and it was extreme. And so we had everybody who does birthright. You do a night in the. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the fuck. I'm a really bad Jew right now.
Bad Jew podcast.
Bad Jew. There are these tents where like nomads live, mm-hmm. out in the desert, and so everybody goes and stays in those tents, and that's like part of the birthright experience. But ours did an extra night in tents, but it was just like a random like outdoors. It was just like, I don't know. We all played manhunt, hide and seek. And just ran around. It was really fun. But so that was like an extra night in tents. So we had two nights in tents. One in like a real like officially nomadic tent and one in like just like little tents that we put up ourselves and like slept in.
Yeah, so you kind of know how you do in a survival situation, kind of.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, and birthright's a really good comparison because you're thrown in. I didn't know anyone. So I went in just being like, okay, I got to make some friends. so that I enjoy this trip. And you just make friends with people.
But under pressure, you know?
Yeah.
Is that like...
And to win $1 million.
So much at stake.
It's so... I want to go on. I want to be on Survivor.
To me, it's always funny how these, like, bachelor shows, like, they get voted out.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I lost, but I've made, like, friendships that would last forever. And it's literally just, like, you versus other people that were trying to bang the same chick.
Yeah. I love bachelor shows, though, too. Those are my guilty, like, my guilty pleasures. I like dating reality shows and, like, CBS reality, like, Survivor and fucking... The challenge. And,
yeah, sometimes I wish I was like more in touch with like what the general public is consuming.
I can help you with that.
Because I would have more references.
Yeah. But also not having references, I think, makes you quite a good comedian where like you don't need to rely on references to be funny.
Yeah. But like I don't have...
Like you're relatable to like, many different crowds. And I think that's what makes you... Like I think that's why so many of us enjoy watching your sets here is that you're like... Your comedy is really, I think, okay. So I think a lot of visiting comedians who don't live in Europe, who come here, have trouble sometimes if they're coming from New York or London or LA, like just like an English speaking sort of place, because here the audiences are so diverse. There's people from so many different countries and who speak so many different languages, which I think not using references and having a more general sense of humor is much more effective. And I think you're really good at that.
Yeah, thanks. That's what I came here for, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I'm like based in Sweden. All my jokes are just like Swedish punchlines, you know,
really?
Even though it's in English. Like I just came, I want to do more material on like human condition.
Yeah.
Something that works everywhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like good like training camp.
Yeah.
For that. But still, first couple of weeks, I was talking about oranges and like the nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess I can go somewhere else and just say like, oh, I was in Barcelona, you know, and it's like that.
Yeah, exactly. You can always do that.
Yeah.
But, I think we're wrapping up on time.
Wrapping up.
I know. There's so much more I want to know about you, though. Who are a couple questions, quick fire questions.
Quick, yeah.
Quick fire. Who are like your favorite comedians, whether famous or local, just people that you enjoy watching?
Already said, like Bill Burr, Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm.
I like, this is like a smaller comedian, but I found him like some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin Matz, Canadian guy.
Cool.
He, I don't know how he's doing. Like maybe he has like 10, 20,000 followers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but he's in U.S.
Cool.
He's like very like, a little bit like depressed comedy, you know, nice. Just introspective. It's not really like dancing too much on stage. It's just like kind of like stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
Kind of feel to it. I like some female comedians too.
I like that you specify.
Yeah, because like most guys don't, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, but I also think it's funny that you're like, well, these are my favorite comedians. And then I have my favorite female comedians.
Oh, yeah, that's what you mean.
But I do like that you're including it.
I like Sophie Buttle.
Okay.
I'm going to see Jessica Kirsten.
Oh my God. I love her. Love her.
Yeah. I know her stuff. I haven't really seen her.
She is. The only way to see her is live. If you've watched her crowd work clips or if you've seen her, like her, she's like done a set on Bill Burr and Friends.
Yeah.
But she, I used to do shows with her in New York in which I played the piano to play comedians on and off stage. And then I would do a set. And so she was one of the comedians. And every time I would have to sit on stage during the sets, right? And so I have to pay attention and laugh a little. But for her, I would like, there was one time where I literally fell off my chair laughing.
Wow.
On stage. And she would then make fun of me on stage. And it was like, and then I would run off after her set and just be like, I love you so much. Like,
and it was crowd work, right?
Yeah. She's like, she's just so, I think she's the best at sensing the energy of a crowd and going with it. I've never seen her do badly.
Yeah, I'm going to see her in London.
Oh my God.
It's
so
gonna
jealous.
Be exciting.
When is that? Do you know?
Like in a month.
Yeah.
I don't remember the date.
Yes, because I know she's here in Europe when I'm back in the States, and I was upset about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. And what would be your advice to like new comedians?
Let's see, something. Okay. I'm taking a pause to like think about this because...
You don't have to take it too seriously. Yeah. We only have like 20 listeners.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I guess try to be honest or as honest as possible. Mm. And keep trying, you know? Because it's not something that you will discover like as soon as you start. Like you need to like, even if you hit it the first time, you still need to like try other things and like go back to like what worked, you know? So it's more like iterative. Like this isn't like a sprint. It's more like a marathon, you know? And it applies both to like creativity and to the business side of things too, you know? It just takes time. I think, yeah, that would be the advice. Just try to be true to yourself and honest, you know?
I love that. Amazing. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Jamie.
I hope you enjoyed the confession booth.
Yeah, this was really fun. You definitely practiced the skill of talking to people a lot, like working in bars and just doing stand-up. Yeah, yeah, you're really good.
Oh, thank you so much. It means a lot.
Yeah, this was very chill.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you soon when you come back to Barcelona. I'm sad you're leaving. All of us are sad you're leaving.
I'll be back.
Okay, good. What do you like about Barcelona?
About the city?
Yeah, or like us.
Okay, so the comedy scene, I definitely love. You guys are super friendly. I just feel super welcomed. And I don't know, I heard other things about other comedy scenes. I'm not going to be like specific. But here, it's like so supportive.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a comedian listening to this, I don't know why.
Maybe my good interviewing skills.
And you're like, yeah, you should check out Barcelona. You must check out this place. Yeah, I think this was one of the most important pivotal points of my career.
Okay, it's going in the autobiography. It's in the memoir.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, I love you guys.
Yeah, we love you too. Thanks for coming in. Okay, bye.
Bye.